Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
Well, Becca said something. I know that the monologue was great. I was hoping for a rap. My first Sunday in Kelowna, when Keith brought me in to interview and to just spend a weekend here with y'all, because I'm married to an American, Becca got up and she rapped the announcement, and I knew right there that this was the church for me. And so, but in her monologue, she said something that was so neat. She said that MCA, we are a church that loves one another and cheers each other on. This is actually like really true. I see it firsthand. And this morning I was slated to preach, but then last week Keith preached half of the chapter I was supposed to preach in Revelation 15, and so I was like, "Hey Keith, we're going to do something different." And last week, as many of you know, a group of students and some leaders were out in Portland, stepping into like different ministries and serving. And I was like, "Hey, it'd be great for us to maybe celebrate some of that and cheer them on." Is that all right with you? You don't have a choice in the matter, but. That's great. Jordan's going to just throw up a little slideshow, and students, come on up, grab your chairs. Yep, come on up. We'll just kind of situate on stage. It'll be kind of an informal. My plan is to lead the team as they share stories about the week and the different ministries that we were able to partner with while in Portland, and hopefully it's a time of us celebrating what God is doing in their own life. Hopefully they're coming. yep, they're coming. It's a time to celebrate a little bit what they're doing. This is my favorite picture of Will. Up on stage, he found those while sorting clothes, and the person who is in charge of that ministry let Will keep them. So that was great. Yeah. So as they're getting up on stage, just maybe a recap for some of you who are wondering what we were doing in Portland. We partner with an organization called Kaleo Missions, and Kaleo has a handful of different sites across the U.S., and what they do is they are locally situated, and they have these directors at each of the sites. So, you know, they have one in Portland. It's actually what Jocelyn was doing in San Diego, and I think they have one in New York and Dallas. There's just a bunch of other places, and what they do is they partner with a handful of local nonprofits and ministries, and they build these relationships kind of throughout the year, and then during spring break, and yeah, I love it. during spring break and during the summer, different school groups and young adult groups will come in and will serve in these kind of existing relationships. And so it's neat because we just kind of get a parachute in on stuff that is already happening, and we get to kind of come alongside Kaleo, come alongside what God is doing in Portland, and we get to be a part of that work. And so it's lots of fun. Okay, we're all here. Great. This is awesome. I'm going to pass this microphone and get a different one. Thanks, Travis. So, throughout the week, there's so many ways that the students stepped up, and one of the first things that we went to, we traveled all day, and it was pretty good. But maybe before talking about that, give Hugo the microphone. So Hugo and Caitlin on the end were the two returning missionaries. So they joined us 2 years ago, and we had an interesting experience before we left West Kelowna 2 years ago. Aaron Wong actually threw up in the van. Sorry to call you out, Aaron. Are you up there? Oh, Aaron's not here this week. That's good. He tried a delicacy from a Middle Eastern country. It was like dried goat's milk, and then he like took a half bite, and he committed to it. But then he also committed to cleaning up the van afterwards. This year was a little bit less eventful, but we stopped at a dollar store, well, near a dollar store. And Hugo, what was the first thing that we did as a group?
Last year?
No, this time. You bought something.
Oh. Okay, so I like to make rubber band balls on the trip.
Rubber band balls.
Yeah, and we ran right to the dollar store, the first stop we made.
And so there's probably a couple thousand rubber bands in our van by the end of the trip. Hugo had one, Will had one.
Jordan
had one. It was great. And then Hugo lost his. And at the end of the week, we did a lot of like serving. This is just kind of a funny side story. At the end of the week, we did a rap battle, and Caitlin on the end. So Hugo thought that I stole it or everyone else stole it, and then Caitlin during her rap battle was I forget the specific verse. Do you remember the verse? Pass the microphone down to Caitlin.
So it was, I may be the quietest one of all y'all, but for all you know, I could have stolen Hugo's band ball.
Isn't that great? And we were like, whoa, Caitlin, ruthless. When we showed up in Portland, we went to a place called Union Gospel Mission. And yeah, but let's pass the mic down to Jordana. Jordana, can you tell us maybe a little bit about the Union Gospel Mission and then what happened that first night when we were there?
Sure. So on the first night after we all got settled in, we went to UGM and got to hear a man named Terry share a story. And pretty much his whole life he'd been into drinking. When he was a kid, his dad was drinking a lot and abusive to his mom. And then Terry started drinking pretty young and got into it pretty deep. And he tried to get help through programs and stuff like that. But they never worked. And then he ended up going to UGM and met God and his life changed. And later he saw a doctor and found out he only had a while to live because drinking had hurt him inside a lot. And so he really could die any day. But when he shared a story with us, he had a lot of hope and love for God, and it was really inspiring.
Yeah. And what was, for you personally, what was it that you kind of took away from his story?
Like to not give up, and like there's always a chance to like go to God.
Yeah, yeah, and it was really neat, and UGM in Portland, the Union Gospel Mission, and they're in quite a few places, but this specific UGM, a bunch of men, kind of from all different walks, kind of just signed up to live in like kind of committed relationship to one another, and a chance that like many people were like Terry and recovering from different addictions, but they also kind of served the community in different ways that we'll get to. But yeah, no, that's great. Thanks for sharing that, Jordana. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about what happened at Union Gospel Mission. So they did this thing. It's called the day room, right? Yeah. Josh, can you just explain a little bit about what happened in the day room?
Yeah. So in the day room, people who are experiencing homelessness are able to come in to this room and have a breakfast service together. So there's a lot of food that's prepared, some food that's donated, and then people can come through the line and pick a breakfast item, get some coffee, and then sit down and eat and drink together, and then they can go back through the line and get some more as many times as they'd like. But one of the neat things about the day room is that a lot of the men in the program, like Brendan was explaining, are the ones that are preparing the food, serving the food, getting to know the men who come in from the streets every day. And a lot of them were once where the men on the streets were. And so it's really neat relationships that build there. And then for the team, we kind of just jumped in alongside the guys at UGM and had the opportunity to prep the food with them, serve with them, and sit down at the tables and have conversations with the guys from the streets coming in for the breakfast service.
Yeah, and it was really neat to see the students just engage. And there's a little bit of hesitancy. I want to pass the microphone to Will. Hi, Will.
Hi.
you got a microphone, great. Can you share maybe with us some of the reasons why you were nervous at the beginning of the week, Will?
Well, there were a couple. There was, like, I might not connect to them. Like, I might not know what to say. Mm-hmm. It's, like, might be confusing. And also just, like, interrupting and, like, maybe they won't want to talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
That it was scary starting the conversations.
Yeah. So just like a lot of nervousness, right? Because when it's, you know, people who we, you know, don't know and maybe a little bit different, it's kind of like, it's, I think we all experience how it's just tough to maybe even in community time, it's like, no, head down, I'm not talking to this person, I don't know them, right? So we can all experience that. And then you kind of take a place where there's, you know, there's an age difference and just a complete life style difference. But Will, the second time we served in the day room at Union Gospel Mission, when we're out and you're in the tables, what was your experience there talking to the people who were coming in off the streets?
So which, is it like the last day or the second last day?
I think it was the second last day.
Second, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
Nice.
You, what was the question?
Yeah, that was good. Remember when you were out amongst the tables and talking with the people? How was that experience?
It was pretty cool. I met a couple good guys. Like, this one person, like, traveled all around Canada, all the states of the United States, two countries in Europe, and he really wants to go to Australia. So, nice guy. And this other guy loves to read books. If you know me, I'm sort of a book reader. Yeah, a bit. When I get into a good book.
Yeah, no, that's great, Will. Yeah, so it was interesting to see Will, you know, express this nervousness, and that second time when I think the first time you were helping serve food.
No, the first time I was out in the tables.
Oh yes, right.
Second time I was surfing.
Yeah, so the first time. Yeah, so Will just kind of jumped right into it. And it's kind of interesting, right? Because everyone kind of comes up, grabs their food, sits down at the tables. Will just like was in there. He was talking. He was connecting. And it was neat to see. It's like, okay, even though there's the nervousness to going into that, it's like, no, I'm gonna be bold. I'm gonna step out in faith and do it. And it was really cool. So way to go, Will. And so that was Union Gospel Mission. And there's like lots of cool stories that happened there. But we also went to a different place called Open Door Ministries, and I'm going to get Kai to share a little bit about the Open Door place.
Okay, so Open Door was like the first thing we did when we got there, the first day.
Yeah.
And it's a program that provides housing for poor families, and so we were helping out there for the morning, and like when we got there, it was like a little unorganized and busy, and like we were waiting for someone to like give us a tour of the place for a little bit, and just, yeah, there's people doing all sorts of work there, and it was just a cool place. Me and Hugo really enjoyed seeing that they had like a bike shop for people to volunteer at. Me and Hugo are really into biking, and yeah, so on the tour, we got to kind of the top floor where the people live, and there were a bunch of like small apartments there. And I wasn't really expecting it, but you walk out of the stairs and it's like a double height. There's like big lofted ceilings. It just, there were like, you could hear some like people singing in their rooms and stuff. And like, it just had this cool vibe to it. And like, I remember just being really, yeah, like intrigued by the place and just how friendly everyone was. And like, it really felt like God was there. Like, it felt like he was working there, and it was cool that we could be a part of that.
Yeah, it was really neat. What was your job when you were there?
We were helping Randy, who was like another really cool dude. He was the yard maintenance dude, and he used to fish up in Alaska and was always calling us brother, which was fun. And so me and Hugo were like painting lines and cleaning stuff up and stuff like
that.
And
they painted some straight lines.
Yeah, we were painting lines at the parking lot, which was highlight of the trip.
That's great. Thanks, Kai.
A highlight of the trip.
A highlight. Yeah, it was neat to kind of jump in and just kind of experience. And we were up in the top floor getting a tour of one of these apartments that they have like families stay in. And then this little baby kind of crawls out of this room across the hallway. It's like the cutest baby ever. And this mom was like singing to it and stuff. And it was really neat because we heard a lot of the stories about why these families were there to begin with. Right, and it's like a lot of just pain and hurt, and then just to kind of see this, just a picture of like God's grace working through these people who had just committed to serving others who maybe didn't quite have what they have, but they wanted to see God's love kind of pour out to them. It was so neat. We also did this thing twice during our time there. It was called Make a Lunch, Take a Lunch. And Jordan, I'm going to get you to explain a little bit about the whole idea with make a lunch, take a lunch.
So yeah, we made one lunch for a homeless person and one lunch for ourselves. And then we went out in the streets downtown and we went and we had to go find someone to go eat lunch with. And I went with my group and we met these three people, Chris, James, and Elena. And it was just really cool to just talk with them and connect and just to hear their stories.
Yeah, it was really neat. And the whole idea with Make a Lunch, Take a Lunch, if somebody who is experiencing homelessness in Portland wants, there's quite a few meals that they can jump into, lots of different services, just like UGM. There's a handful of them. And so like the idea is just building connections and really building a relationship with people who are maybe a little bit different than us. And I think, Nora, you were part of that group as well. Maybe you want to give your perspective of that time.
So we did the make a lunch, take a lunch. And so we found, well, I was in the same group as Jordan. And so that we just talked and it was good to connect with them. And then a few days later, we did it again. And at first it was hard to find more people because we went on a road that there was less people on. And then we got lost. And so it wasn't the best, but then we started walking back and then we found the same group and it made us really happy and it brightened up our day a little bit and we got to say goodbye to them and it was really good.
And Nora, I think you had the opportunity to pray for them too, right? Or
yeah.
was that the first time or the second time?
That was the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe share a little bit about that experience. Were you nervous doing that, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to say, and I didn't know if they like believed in God or anything, so I just prayed for them and wished them the best, and yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Nora, how old are you?
I'm 13.
13. Isn't that like a challenge for us? I know it was one of my favorite things about doing this, and I was talking to Jocelyn about this afterwards, and Jocelyn has been a part of so many of these types of events and groups, and so nothing is necessarily new, right? So and even for me, I've done quite a bit of this like type of activity. But the thing that gets me every time is people like Nora stepping up in a boldness that I wonder if I have like the same type of faith at times. I'm like, man, like God, like when's the last time I prayed for somebody I just met? When's the last time I had the boldness just to step out and be like, hey, God, like how can I bless this person in the moment? And it's just so cool to see like Nora and see like lots of the others kind of stepping out in that faith. It's just incredible. And Taylor, I think you were like the one who got them lost, correct?
Okay, we were not lost, just to clarify. I knew where we were.
Thick.
Good job.
But she did leave out that I made them climb up onto a bridge which had two flights of stairs. Good and job. Jordan was sick.
Good job, Taylor.
I knew where you were.
Your perspective, those two make a lunch, take a lunches with your groups, what were they like for you?
I was actually really excited about this part. It was probably like what I was most looking forward to. But when I got Jordan and Nora in my group, the very first time they both were like, I don't want to talk to people. Not happening. And so it was nice, like we ended up finding a group of people that was like three people and we had three lunches, so it was nice to just sit with them and to like talk about life. And like I did ask them a lot of questions, and I think Nora and Jordan kind of like gained a lot from that. But then at the very end, it was super cool to see Nora like come out and pray for people, just because like that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy for me, it's not easy for anybody, right? So when she did that, it was like, it made me challenge myself more that the rest of the week. And then the second time when we went out, I asked Brendan, I was like, hey, can we take the same group of kids? Just because I felt like we had really grown together that first time. So then the second time we went out, it was time for those two to step forwards. So after getting lost and finding our way, we ended up finding like the same three people. And it was just so cool to like have a good chat with them. But then the coolest part was when we offered them our one lunch, because we had given two away. The three of them had said like, oh, well, we've already eaten. And so it's like, honestly, we have some buddies who haven't eaten, so we'll take it for them. But it was like the most selfless act ever, because they could have taken that bagged lunch and eaten it for dinner or eaten it the next day. But the fact that they had friends who they cared about so much to actually give them the lunch instead, I was just like, wow, you have so little, yet you're willing to give so much already. So that was super cool for me.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool. And part of it was, as we kind of stepped out together, something cool happens, right? Whenever you're a part of a team, you begin to like mesh together in cool ways. And Caitlin, one of the things for Caitlin, it was just a meaningful part of her trip. Yeah, if you would like to share that, please.
Well, I know that I'm quite shy. I'm really, a lot of the time, I'm really socially awkward, so that kind of makes it harder for me to have the confidence to talk to people. So I started off the trip thinking that I wasn't really going to be talking much, but I think it started the Monday we were there, and I decided to join in a card game with the group at a time when I probably would have decided to spend time alone, maybe 2 years ago. But we shared a lot of laughs, and it was a really enjoyable experience. And I think after that point, gradually I became more and more social. I really started to come out of my shell a lot more than I thought I'd be able to.
Yeah, and it really is. Like, Caitlin has grown so much. Like, And we talked about it a couple of times, the difference between your experience 2 years ago and your experience this year. And that was very cool for me to see, too. Thanks for sharing that, Caitlin. And Travis, the leaders were kind of reflecting at the end of the week, and Travis actually kind of pinpointed something similar that stood out to him.
Yes, so I'm not like a small group leader at youth group. Normally on Thursday nights, I kind of take a more logistical role and help Brendan out with games or just cleaning or whatever needs to be done. So I don't really have the opportunity to connect with the kids in a one-on-one session as much and to see them interact as a group. But on this specific trip, I got to see a lot of growth in our group of 11 people, and seeing that like on the way down, it was like Nora and Jordana on one bench in the van and the boys up front, and there wasn't much communication between the two benches. But by Thursday or Friday, it was just the van was just pumping, and the conversations were being yelled from way at the back all the way up to me in the front, and it was just really, really cool to see this specific group of kids that didn't really interact much on a Thursday night at youth group, just build their relationships together and make them just so much bigger than what they were when we started the trip. And I think these are friendships and relationships and inside jokes that are going to stick around for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool. And Travis did pulled double duty, so I got so sick the first couple days. Sicker than I've been in a long time, and I was like, "Hey, Travis, I'm not sleeping with the boys this weekend," because I went to bed at like 9 o'clock every night, and so I went and did my own thing, and Travis was the de facto leader of the boys, and so that was really cool and a blessing and really neat for me to have such strong leaders around me where I could do that. Hugo, question for you. Oh yeah, it's your turn. What's a way you saw kind of maybe me God at work in Portland, maybe in our group?
I just kind of saw God a lot just through like the volunteers, because well, like nothing can really work without volunteer help, because well, they're what make these organizations go around.
Yeah, and specifically for you, was this trip maybe a little bit different than 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Why? this I didn't tell Hugo I was asking this question to him, but he's on the spot now.
I have no
don't know. Okay, that's okay. We'll come back to you maybe. That's great. At the end of each day we would we do a time of reflecting and maybe Josh, if you just want to touch briefly what we did at the end of each day.
So in the evenings we would kind of come back for dinner at our like home base where we were staying every night. We would take the time after dinner to get into a group, and we would go over highs and lows, but we called them sparkle farkles. Which I loved. Everybody say farkle. It's a great word. anyway, so we would kind of go over our highs and lows from the day, and then Brendan would prompt the group with a couple of questions. We encouraged the students on the trip to be reading their Bibles every morning, so we went through James, which has 5 chapters for 5 days. It was really easy. And we were kind of actually surprised because at night when we would have our debrief and we'd be talking about like, what did you read in your Bible today? And then how did you see that play out during your day or something like that? All the students had really insightful things to say. And then we would talk about other things during the day too, like different events that went on, and the students were really engaged with that. Personally for me, so as Brendan mentioned, I used to work for this organization. I worked for them for 6 years, from 2012 to 2018. And sometimes when you get a group come out that is young, like ours, we had a lot of 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade students. Grade 8, grade 9, grade 10. Students. Sometimes when you get a group that young come out, you start to, maybe you put your bar a little lower for them, like in the type of conversation they'll be having and the type of things they take away. But we were really blown away as leaders by how much they were invested in those conversations, how much they were invested in the trip and in being open to what they would learn, being open to what God would show them and teach them. And on the last night, we kind of did an extended debrief with some questions, and we had the students go and write down their answers to the questions for like 30 minutes. And I think I was surprised the whole week how engaged the students were. But when they like really took the time to fill out these 15,
20 questions. I don't know how many questions it was. When they really took the time to do that, I was really blown away by the way that they were really trying to dig into their experience and unpack it so that they could come home, not just like, it was great, I went to Portland, but to come home with something new. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really neat. And one of the takeaways that I know a handful of the students had throughout the week was the impact of actually like reading scripture had on their life. And it was a strange, for me, it was a strange takeaway because, you know, there's the obvious one, which I think we all had of like, okay, you know, helping others who are less fortunate than ourselves. But there was just like a couple of people were like, yeah, you know, I really saw the benefit of reading the word every morning, and so I want to do that when I go home, and it was really neat. And we reflected on James kind of throughout the week, there's this one part in James 2, which I think if you grew up in church, maybe you're familiar with. It says that, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says they have faith but they do not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Right, we read that and it's like, oh yeah, this is why we take a step out of our comfort zone to go to a situation where maybe the problem is a little bit more in your face, and it's like you start living this, but then you know you come back home and for us to kind of reflect on, it's like, okay, does our faith have legs, right? Does our faith, is it just lip service that happens on Sunday morning, or do we go out and actually be the church in all of Kelowna, right? Instead of just, you know, gathering here, do we actually go out and have legs on our faith, right? Are we doing this? And it is good. And at the end of that chapter, James, the author, says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. There's a reflection where we're going to enter into a time of communion, and I'm going to ask the students to maybe kind of take your spots. Stack the chairs and kind of take your spots throughout. And if I can grab the microphone, Joss.
Awesome. Yeah, and so as we step into kind of a time of, well, actually, before, can we give these guys a round of applause? I think it was great. We're going to do something kind of fun and maybe a little bit different. I've asked several members of the Portland team to actually help serve communion this morning. And so when you see them, I think it's a great way for followers of Jesus, right, to step into continuing to serve him. And as I reflected on this verse, Kai really kind of like asked a pointed question, and it was a good question. And Kai asked a question along the lines of like, okay, does that mean that our good works produces faith? Is that what it means? And maybe a cursory reading, you kind of get that answer from. But we started talking about kind of the bigger picture, right? We situated that verse in its context, and then in the context of the story of Jesus. And in John 15, Jesus talks about how he is the vine, right? And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." I think it's a pretty cool reflection that our faith is always grown out of this abiding in Jesus. Right? And so it's like communion is this wonderful time where we can remember how Jesus, through his body that he gave for us and his blood that was shed for us, he actually reconciles, brings us back into a right relationship with God. Right? He does this reconciling work where it's not just words that he says. He actually puts his life on the line. As we approach the communion table this morning, I think we can kind of reflect a little bit. It was like, okay, as Jesus has reconciled me to God, how am I reconciling myself to maybe my enemies, to my friends, to my families, to the world? How am I bringing apart wholeness in a world that's so often filled with brokenness? Right? How am I clothing those who are not clothed? How am I feeding those who don't have food? Right? And you can just go on because we know that Jesus saw us in our weakness and our brokenness and said, "Hey, I'm going to give myself, I'm going to give my strength so that even though you are weak because of me, you can be strong." Right? This is the story of what it means to follow Jesus. Right? It's a faith in Jesus, but it's a faith with legs. It's one where as we abide in him and as we recognize the reconciling work that Jesus has done in our own life, so we actually step out and participate in God's work in our community. It's incredible, and it's such a picture. And so today, as we approach the table, right, we'll have some stations up front and up back, and there's gluten-free things there if you need it. But as we approach, maybe the question that you wrestle with, it's like, how am I participating in God's reconciling work in Kelowna, just as he has reconciled me to himself? How am I participating in God's healing work in oftentimes a broken city, just as he has healed me? It's such a powerful question that we can ask and reflect on this morning as we come to the table. And so know that on the night Jesus said, he broke bread and he said, "Hey, this is my body given for you." And he poured out wine and said, "Hey, this is my blood shed for you. You know, eat this, drink this in remembrance of me." So as you come to the table, remember that.